In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, not only is it fall, but we're somewhat turning the corner into this long season of Trinity, the Trinity season, which is also divided up into three sections, but that's probably a topic for Bible class. But let it be enough for me to say that the Trinity season falls on behalf of the first part of the church year, where we hear about Christ being born, growing up, fulfilling the law in our place, dying for the curse of the law in our place, and then rising and returning home to heaven, where he gives gifts to men through the gospel, through baptism, through the Lord's Supper, through the office of keys and confession, through the gathering together out of the world, where two or more are gathered in his name, there Christ is with his gifts. And for the last 16 Sundays or so, we've heard about those gifts that God gives to his church. Today, one of the gifts is recorded in the book of Ephesians, our epistle lesson. Implied is the gift that God gives you, his church, to pray for one another. Look to your left. That would be your left. To the person on your left, to the person on your right, to those in front of you, behind you, maybe on your lap or in your arms. Children of the Heavenly Father. Claire, we said look, not kiss. There's always one, right? Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the whole family, in heaven and in on earth. And then he describes what his prayer is. I know that without the Psalms and the Scriptures, nor faith, that's a given, we would not know how to pray, nor the words. We wouldn't know whether or not this God that we can't see hears us, nor would we know if he answers us. So Paul, as a pastor, teaches the congregation at Ephesians, as well as us today, this marvelous gift that Christ has won and delivered to us. First, on account of our Savior who prayed to his Father, as he alludes to here and says straight forth. And the Father heard the Son, his beloved Son's, cries, and answered him. And that last answer came in the sound of a deaf voice, or no voice at all, on the cross when Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was for your benefit, that it pleased the Father to bruise him, not you, to make his soul an offering for your sins, so that we know that by his bloody death and subsequent resurrection, by his stripes, you have the Father's healing gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation. For this reason, Paul says, for what reason? Well, the word therefore usually lets us know that something has just come before this. So looking back, Paul says that you once had joined the ranks of the world and were foreigners, strangers to God. You once were people and men and women like the ungodly in the world. He calls them Gentiles, like the uncircumcised, those that have no regard for God. But God has brought you near to him, and he has erased the handwriting on the wall that divided you from him. You once were aliens outside of the household of faith, strangers to the promise of God's grace. You had no hope in the world and were without God. But now, Christ Jesus has brought you close and made you near to the Father through the blood of Christ, who himself is our peace, the Prince of Peace, the one who's reconciled us to the Father and has made now both these two come together and has broken down the wall of separation that has divided you from the Father. That wall of division. He's abolished in his flesh the enmity. Remember the curse in the garden? I will put enmity between you and the woman's seed. He has removed that. And all the law and all of its commandments and all of its judgments and all of its curse and all of the wages of sin, so as to create in himself a new man from the two, making our peace, so that he could reconcile and bring them together. And he has come and he has preached peace to you who were once afar off but now have been brought near. And through him, through Christ, the gift just goes on. We both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And that's to pray. For this reason, this grace was given to me, and this grace was given to you. Therefore, Paul writes, don't lose heart for my life in Christ, both my joys as well as my sufferings. And it's for these reasons that we've been brought near to the Father, that I bow my knee before my Father. Literally, Paul is praying here. Not only to my Father, but also to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, and your Father. For the whole family, the word father and family have the same root word. Huge connection there. Our Father, the family on earth, his family, not your ancestral family, maybe they've been baptized and kept in the faith, maybe not. Not the world, no. They're still God's charge, and he'll care for them and preach them the gospel of forgiveness, repentance in Jesus, but not yet. But for you, who've been bought and paid for and given faith to trust your Father, who gave you Jesus to bring you in out of the world and establish you firmly rooted and grounded in God's grace in the household of faith. That family. Here on earth, we see one another. We're made of flesh and blood. Claire kissed Juan right on the cheek. Heather was holding her baby in her arms. Izzy just put her hair back behind her ear. Real people that we can see, taste, touch, smell. Well, we'll stop there. Yes, we can't taste one. Well, no. The family on earth and the family, now this takes us way beyond what we see or experience. So faith holds fast the gospel and trusts God's word in heaven and on earth. And by the time we finish reading the scriptures, that number in heaven is more than anyone can count. Of every nation, tribe, tongue, and people group, all gathered again around the Lamb and the throne of the Father in heaven. We sing of that just before receiving the Lord's Supper. That marvelous preface, therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. The same Savior that feeds us is the same ascended Savior who's in heaven now, who has gathered the souls of the redeemed who have died in Christ and placed them safely under the altar in heaven to await the bodily resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Heaven and earth intersect at that place where our Savior feeds us with that same body that hung for you on the cross, together with bread and wine, substance, and for the chief benefit of the remission, the sending away of our sin, our guilt, our shame. And when those are away, then the Father has invited us to draw near to Him. The world does not pray this way. Most Christians don't pray this way. Paul teaches us in this marvelous section how to regard and to pray for one another who are gathered, even here in this place, around this little throne, if you will, in our Father's house, before the Lamb, the household of faith. Lord, teach us always to regard one another and to pray for one another this way. O Lord, open my lips and place in them the love of your word on behalf of the body of Christ that's been redeemed to you and given to me to love and to pray for. He goes on, this whole family, that you would continue to give to them according to the riches of your gracious glory. Again, look to those around you. Our prayer to our Father in heaven, Christ's Father, as well as ours, that God would continue to give them His grace. That grace once pronounced over them, most of you, in your baptism. That grace of the gospel of sins forgiven, peace with God that reaches your ears every Sunday in this place. Christ's word. Those gracious hymns sung into your ears of His redeeming love for you. That grace that causes you to lobet den Herrn, to sing the hymn we just sang, praise to the Lord for all of His gifts, for you, child, sister, father, grandmother in the faith. And that I'm praying that you would be strengthened in your most holy faith with His mighty power. It's the same word used in Romans 1. The power of the gospel. That you would be strengthened in the gospel and nourished by Christ in His word, in His supper, in the remembrance of your baptism, and all the passages that flow in when you think about what God has given and keeps you as a son or daughter who belongs to the Father. Keep you rooted and grounded in that mighty, powerful way. Through His Spirit, notice it's God's gift that you're praying for, that would gospel those next to you. Strengthen them in the inner man. That's that new man in Christ, the one begotten in baptism or spoken to you if you were converted by the word first. That new man, and that's in opposition to the old Adam, the old man, the carnal man, those of the world, fleshly, Gentile, heathen, the peoples, the nations of ungodly, that He has brought you out of, and in its place given you faith and grace and new man, and written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and called you who were once not His, now His own, part of the household of faith, members of the body of Christ, kings and priests before God, bearers of the gospel, strengthened and nourished on God's gift of supper and word and washing and forgiveness, strengthened by God's powerful word given to you in those places, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Remember the pledge and promise you once gave at your baptism or confirmation? We spoke it a few Sundays ago together, that I renounce the devil and all of his works and all of his ways. I hate his festering guts and everything he stands for and is, because everything that he's about is the opposite of Christ. And that love now that he's given you for the things of God, to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's what he gives to you. That inner man that lives by the gospel and loves the gospel, and it's on our mind and in our hearts and on our lips. And when we come into his house and when we leave his house and wherever we go, Christ goes with you to strengthen that faith in you as you recall his promises in your devotions at home, in the preachings on Sunday, in the body and blood that he places on your tongues and in your mouths, the anointing, the setting aside, the washing, the naming he's given to you in your baptism, so you never have a crisis of, am I God's or not? Have I sinned too much? Will he not forgive me? No, the inner man knows the answers to all of those questions and revels in the things of God, so that the old man dies daily and is crushed and killed by repentance. And the new man finally breathes a breath of life as you read, mark, and learn, and inwardly digest his word in your own private study and prayer place, where no one enters there, and God places in front of you his most holy word that you pray back to him and sing to him, that you say to him with your very own tongue that he's enlivened and placed his word on it, "Our Father who art in heaven," before the day's even begun, and in midday and then in the evening, "I give thanks to you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that you have kept me this day from falling head first into heinous sins or joined the world, and that you forgive me all my sins and graciously keep me and my Christian church in the faith and give us rest tonight." That's that inner man. That's that new man in Christ that Christ has brought to life. Like he brought Adam to life when he breathed in him the breath of life, so that very same Holy Ghost and all of his power strengthens you so that you're rooted and grounded like Psalm 1 in a tree planted next to a stream of living water, and everything that you do in faith according to his word for benefit of your neighbor is a rich and enlivening fruit on behalf of your neighbor. We pray those things for God's people in church and at home, and as he brings through your memory at night those that were gathered here in his Father's house. A Claire or a Juan, the needs of a Leo, the gift of an organist, the Sunday school teacher, fathers and mothers that are with you in church today. They go with us, the memories, as we pray these words. He teaches us to do that, these very things, that they may be, along with you, able to comprehend the depth and the height and the love and the breadth of God's grace and love to them. So when they walk through the valley of death, so when they're anxious when Christ bids them not to, when things in the world and even sin inside of them causes them to fear and tremble, they know that Christ holds them in their hand and that their faith is rooted in the gospel. And they have no fear, little flock, for the Father has promised to give them his kingdom, just as he promises to keep you steadfast in the Christian faith and the church throughout the world as well. so that when you pray, "Our Father," you're also praying for one another in the body of Christ. To know the love of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, even yours, even mine. But that grace continues, and His love embraces you all the days of your life, so you never have fear, never doubt, never a turning away from Christ's word, ever. That you may always be filled with this gracious, with this fullness of God's love. The one to the left of you, the one behind you, the one in your home, to those unable to come here for whatever reason today, to give thanks for those that are here, Christ's very own, to give thanks for those that have died in the faith and have gone on before us, as we did this past week with a brother in the faith who died, Don Detweiler. Those in heaven and those on earth. And to know that Christ continues to lead us as our good shepherd, who says, "I'm going home to prepare a place for you. And in the meanwhile, I'll be with you through this word, by my Spirit, to teach these things into you, so that you can rejoice and give thanks like Paul does in this doxology. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly above all you ask or even you think or imagine, that He would work this kind of prayer in you for your brothers and sisters in Christ, absolutely, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church, through Jesus Christ, throughout all the ages. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds and keep them with Christ until the day of His coming.